Hello and welcome to Tribal Council, a show in which two brothers, who had never seen Survivor before, started from the very beginning. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Chris, and this week we are talking about Season 15, Episode 1, A Chicken's a Little Bit Smarter. And boy, was that a wild finish to Season 44 last week, right?
Yeah, damn, I can't believe it. I think it's going to be a little bit before we can really decide how we feel about season 44.
I just can't believe that he or her won the whole thing.
Yeah, they were so shocking with all the votes that they got.
I can't believe it only took one season to turn me around and completely love Fire making at the final four.
Oh, I still hate it.
For listeners, we recorded this episode like a month ago. And so if you couldn't tell already, that's just some generic banter.
Yeah, we have some trips planned this summer, and also I am going to have a baby in August, so we're trying to plan some...
Science has come so far. Science? You can have babies now. It's amazing.
Well, my wife is going to birth
the babies.
I will have a baby. Like, I'm not going to birth the baby, but it will be at my house with me and waking me up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I maybe shouldn't say it, but yeah, so we're just recording some episodes ahead of time, so we're gonna be covering season 15
China
16 and 17 this summer. 15 what?
China.
Oh, China. Yes.
Yeah, Shanghai, China. 16 this, people. This list of occupations that they listed off is nuts.
It is nuts.
I'm going to just run through these here real quick. 16 occupations, or however many I wrote down. Miss Montana, middle school lunch lady, Christian radio talk show host, gay Mormon flight attendant, professional wrestler.
Wait, so real quick, some of these are not occupations.
Right, it's just what the show, yeah.
Right.
Honor student, chicken farmer, poker player, grade school teacher, musician, grave digger, jewelry designer, waitress, surfing instructor, bartender slash model, and student slash athlete.
Who is also the youngest survivor ever. At the time.
Yes.
Is there a point in that whole, because Jeff decided to just start like listing them all as he like showed them on their train ride through China, which was also a weird whiplash moment for me. Is there a moment in that list when you were like, I need to start writing some of these down? Because yeah, there was a very precise moment for me.
I think it was gay Mormon flight attendant.
Yep. I was like, oh, these are not just occupations anymore. This is like an oddly specific description of this person.
Right.
Which then I went back and I was like, I also included lunch lady, grave digger,
which there's some good grave digger exchange in, I think, the second episode we're going to talk about. We didn't already say we're talking about the first two episodes of the season.
Yeah.
In this episode, I have two spoiler things I want to mention. I mean, not spoilers makes one of them sound very insensitive, but two things I found out through doing, I looked all the people up on IMDb. I was kind of just curious, like, well, it was because some of them looked, there's a couple of people that looked very familiar to me, and I was like, why do these people look so familiar? I didn't get that answered, but they do look familiar. One is Jamie and Eric of this season apparently get married in 2009. So we can watch their relationship start to build up throughout the season.
There's a Jamie?
There is.
I don't remember a Jamie.
She is a student. It is spelled J-A-I-M-E. Yeah, and Eric with a K.
Okay.
Carrot.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then Ashley, who is gone in the second episode, she was the wrestler. She died in 2019. Allegedly by suicide.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yes.
Okay. I definitely thought that, I think I was conflating Jamie and Ashley in my head because they don't actually look alike, but they look just enough alike that when I'm trying to learn who 16 people are, I get confused.
Yeah, there was somebody, it was either, it might have been Amanda.
Amanda and Courtney also were throwing me off on the other tribe.
It was either Amanda or Courtney. I think it was Amanda, looked so familiar to me. And that's why I was like looking them up on IMDb. And I don't know why.
I am like 90% sure that I have the winner spoiled for this, but I might be wrong.
I don't think I do. Like, I read through the names and I weirdly didn't really recognize too many of these names.
So my problem actually is that there are two names that I'm like, I feel like I've heard about, like, that person's winning game before. So I feel like it is one of these two people to me, and I think I know which one it is, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, so this season is in China.
Let's talk about that. I'm so used to Fiji seasons because it was like, I mean, we've been in Fiji for 41 through 44, but then also, like, we most recently watched Fiji. And then before that was, like, Cook Islands, which is not Fiji, I know, but is still, like, a Pacific island and felt similar to Fiji. It was real, like, shocking to go into China Lake. They literally start the season on, like, a train through Shanghai. Like, it was, like, city living in Survivor, which was very shocking to me. It, like, really threw me off.
Well, I think that was the point. It was going from the city to the ruins and the wilderness, kind of.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was definitely a very interesting start. They did a similar thing where they started off where the people thought they were there for, like, some photo shoot or something, and they're starting with the clothing that they have on, which I don't know if we've talked about before, is bullshit. Like, I think it's a sexist twist that hurts women more than it does men. One woman said that she doesn't have a bra on, and some of them are wearing heels. And I was like, this sucks. Which the heels thing does get rectified, where one of the challenges they get, like, their running shoes.
Yes. The bra thing, Jeff makes a really gross comment about how it's either going to be bad for you in challenges or make you really popular. And I was like, oh, fuck off, Jeff.
Yeah. That's awful. She ends up, like, immediately using her buff as her bra, basically.
Yeah. There's 16 people, which is the first time that we've seen 16 people since season 12, which isn't that long. But then they started four tribes of four with, like, the older men, younger men, older women, younger women thing. I don't know that we've had, like, just two tribes of eight, which is, like, how season one started, since season 10, I think.
I don't know.
Which is kind of wild. Like, I was like, oh, this is weird. Like, this is how season one started. But then they broke away from that and came back.
Yeah. So they start off by doing this, like, sort of ceremony, which Jeff notes is not, like, a religious ceremony. It is, like, I can't remember what he calls it, but it's, like, a welcoming sort of thing.
Yeah, culturally welcoming.
Which Leslie, who is a Christian radio talk show host, views as being very religious, and so she steps out. She cannot finish it. She does say she's not a religious person. She says that. She said she's not a religious person. And then I was like, wait, but she's a Christian radio host? And then so many religious things she comments on, like, in just the first two episodes. I was like, you're not a religious person, Leslie? You're a Christian radio talk show host. It started raining, and you're referring to the big guy, like, helping you out here with this rain.
Yeah, so that's a Christian term that I'm familiar with that you might not be, of, in, like, Christian circles. Some people will say, like, it's not a religion, it's a relationship with God or with Jesus. And so, like, she's saying, like, I'm not religious, I just follow God. That's what she was saying there. She's definitely a very religious person. Like, I also am like, yeah, it's different than, like, religion. It's about a relationship with God. But I recognize that that makes me a religious person, like, in a different form of the word religious. I'm a religious person, definitely. That's what she means there. But it is confusing. And I also was like, what are you saying here, Leslie?
After the ceremony, Jeff gives them all a copy of the Art of War and a map, and tells them to study up on the Art of War for strategy for Survivor.
Yeah. I'm like, Jeff's experimental era. Really, really coming up here. Okay. Yeah.
He's like giving them homework. He's like, read up. And I'm like, homework, Jeff. But hey, some of them do read through it later. So we have two tribes, Fei Long and Zhan Hu.
Sorry, another thing about this ceremony is, like, as Leslie is struggling with whether it's religious or not, we also see Courtney, who is, like, a waitress from New York City, be like, all these people are, like, small town weirdos, and this ceremony's fucking dumb, and she's, like, complaining in all of her confessionals that she has to be here at all, which I think is hilarious.
Do
you not realize what show you signed up for?
Yeah, Courtney was obnoxious to me. She was like talking about how she's in hell. I was not a fan of Courtney.
Oh, I'm not saying that I like her as a person. I still think that her confessionals are funny.
So we spend some time with Fei Long. They row to their camp. Aaron is kind of taking the lead here. We find out that they're getting like an axe, some rice, pots, no flint yet. It's raining. People are being very positive, which that's where Courtney says she's in hell. She's like, people are too positive. Jean Robert. He and Todd share a conversation where he thinks Todd is sharp and that he's going to be good. He also tells Todd, he's like, you're not actually a flight attendant, are you? And he's like, no, I am. And he's like, I don't know. He does not believe Todd is a flight attendant. Jean Robert is a professional poker player, and so he thinks that he can read people really well.
He tells Todd to his face that he thinks Todd is devious, which is wild to tell anyone that you first met, but particularly on the show Survivor. Like, I just met you, and I think you're devious.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
Hey, he's a poker player. He can read people.
The thing that I had heard about this season is that the cast is really wild, and I was like, I'm quickly understanding why people think this cast is wild.
This did make me miss some things that's not in modern day Survivor, like the survival aspect of Survivor. Like, seeing them struggle to build a shelter and stuff is like, it really emphasizes like how hard this is that we don't see in modern day Survivor.
Yeah, I fully agree. I was like, oh man, there are aspects of this that I miss.
Yeah.
Particularly because you're watching this concurrently with season 44. Right. It is such a stark contrast in like every way.
Fei Long is chopping down bamboo trees for shelter, like legit trees, like trees that are like 30, 40 feet tall, just like knocking them down, they're falling. They're like bamboo, but still is pretty impressive. Leslie and James have the best conversation. Leslie says to James, you seem interesting. What do you do? And James's only response is two words. He says, bury people. In which Leslie steps in and she's like, okay, boy, or like, okay, man, here we go. Like, I've got to teach you a little bit of like sociability, like teach you how to like talk to people more. Cause James talks about how he's like, he was kind of nervous about that. He doesn't like, he's not very social and doesn't like, fit in well with people. And so she like gives him some tips for that, which is kind of nice, but he just gave the best answer of just like, no explanation, just bury people.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And he has a confessional about how like being a grave digger is a very solitary job, and he doesn't really have a lot of social skills because of mm-hmm. that, which you mentioned, but like that they also call him Superman at one point because he's very strong because he buries people.
Right.
So James is, it's interesting to me because I'm like, oh, this guy is also kind of a character, but like not in like a kooky loud kind of character that we often see. This guy is like a subdued introverted, but still a character. And that's kind of fun.
Right. They read through some of Art of War and it says that they need a commander. Todd notes that Aaron seems like he's being the leader and says that they should go for that. So Aaron kind of becomes their commander, their leader. And then we get some time on Sean Hu as well. The chicken farmer, has some like ideas for building a camp, which he like tries to throw out a little bit. And, or really more what he's doing is other people are giving ideas and he's kind of just like naysaying their ideas. He eventually gets annoyed and decides to basically not help anymore. There's lots of people playing around instead of building the shelter. It rains really bad, so the next day they wake up all wet and decide that they really need to focus on the shelter. Ashley's not feeling well. She's having some dry heaving and chills. Dave says to Ashley, don't start feeling like you're on the block. And then Dave has a confessional where he's like, she's going first. Like, she's on the block.
Yeah, which was hilarious. It was such good editing.
What year was this?
2007. You want to talk about that for a second?
Well, I'll say my thing, and then we can talk about what your segment. Okay. In that, the most 2007 thing of these first two episodes was Frosty saying he's a parkour runner.
That is a very 2007 thing. That's fair.
And he talks a little bit about parkour and how it's all about like getting from one place to another most efficiently and quickly. And I don't know. It's very... You said 2007?
2007, yeah. Current events of the past. So actually, I guess it's technically day three of this, Chris. There's a election in the UK for the prime minister. So I don't know how much you know about UK history, but they elected a successor to Tony Blair as prime minister, which I'm familiar with Tony Blair. I've heard that name before. But when I saw this person becomes a new prime minister after Tony Blair, I was like, never heard of that guy in my life. Any idea who became prime minister after Tony Blair?
Well, based off of you, I was going to guess like somebody with a last name, like with the name Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you know his name?
Oh, man. No. Some of the
Gordon Brown. Yeah.
Oh, it was. Man. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. You knew this. I've never heard of that person. But he became prime minister of the UK day three of Survivor China, which is not that exciting. But a couple days after that, the iPhone was released. So that's fun, which would be like day five of filming. So that technically is like episode two, but I don't want to do two of these segments in the same podcast episode.
Was this filmed in the fall?
It was filmed in the summer. This was June 2007.
Okay.
And then it was released in the fall.
I knew the iPhone was 2007. That's been a trivia question a couple of times for me.
June 29th, it was released. Mm. But the episodes were released, came out in the fall season of 2007, September specifically. You want to know what the top movies were at the time?
In September or in June?
In September, when this was released, is what I went
with. 2007. Oh, no, that's too early for that. That was too... No.
I will emphasize...
No, was it... September. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, I know. No, I think... I was going to say The Bourne Ultimatum, but I think that was in the spring or summer of 08.
No, that is actually... That was number six for September 2007. It was released
August. Oh, so it was summer of 2007. Okay. I was trying to match it up with... Okay.
I will say, most of these movies don't have a lot of staying power. One of them does, but... And maybe you would disagree with that statement because you like horror movies. But there's a lot of horror in September.
I don't know. You gotta give me something.
There was an installment in a very, very famous franchise that just recently ended, I think. Or supposedly ended. It probably didn't actually end.
Halloween?
Yeah, there's a Halloween movie.
Oh, that must have been the Rob Zombie, like Halloween 2?
Or it was just called Halloween.
I wonder if that was his first one.
With Michael Myers.
Yeah, his first one. That's pretty good, actually.
Also, there 310 to Yuma was number two. Oh,
that's a great movie. That's so fun.
Okay. I remember that movie being a thing, but I don't know anyone who's talked about it in the last 10 years.
That's like that's a really good like Western action movie. Russell Crowe and Christian Bale. Ben Foster, I think, is like the kind of the villain guy in it. That's a really fun movie.
The other one that I thought was noteworthy was I think of it as the epitome of like a buddy comedy.
Superbad.
Yeah.
Oh, love that movie. I saw that movie three times in the theater.
Probably in 2007.
Because I just kept finding people who hadn't seen it yet. And I was like, let's go. I made our family go see it together.
I don't know if I would have gone with you at that point. I mean, I was in high school, but I don't know.
I bet you did. My mom was with us. I think you probably did.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I don't remember seeing it in theaters, but I don't remember seeing a lot of movies in theaters. Yeah, so Superbad also came out September 2007. It actually came out late August, but it was still like making a lot of money in the box office in September. So yeah. Other movies were like Resident Evil Extinction, another horror movie. Rush Hour 3 was out.
Me and my roommates just rewatched Rush Hour 2 the other day. I've never seen Rush Hour 3, but Rush Hour 2, another movie I saw three times in the theater. That movie is hilarious.
Damn. Yeah, there's a movie called The Brave One that I don't think I've ever heard of, but was like big in the box office in September 2007.
I've never heard of that either. Oh, I have not seen this movie. I have seen the poster for the movie or like the box art of like the DVD a bunch of times.
Yeah. So anyway, that was what was happening in 2007. So as we are talking about some of these cultural conversations, remember that we're in the time of Superbad.
Okay.
And Gordon Brown.
And parkour.
In parkour.
Cool. Nice. Fantastic. Back in China, they go to an immunity challenge where each tribe has to carry this like large dragon costume and maneuver it through a maze to get a key and then across a swamp and solve a puzzle on a platform where they will earn immunity and flint. They're also given running shoes here for the challenge and they get to keep the running shoes. And they are very even through the maze, and then Fei Long pulls ahead and pulls out the win for this challenge. I thought this challenge was clever. Like, I thought it was good. I think the maze was too easy. Like, I think they could have made it way harder.
I also thought that at one point, and then I realized that, like, they all had to move basically at the exact same rate because of how the way that this dragon worked, and I was like, that makes this... I think that it looks easier than it actually is, maybe.
I do also think it was heavier than it maybe seems, because they do, like, struggle holding it at times.
Yeah, so I was kind of okay with that. I thought that it was a cool, like, use of the location, because, like, I feel like they've probably done challenges like this before where they're just, like, tied together, but this idea of, like, using the...
Yeah.
I kept wanting to say puppet, and I don't know if puppet is correct.
I don't know either. I do know that in fifth grade at Miller Elementary, we put on the show. This is unrelated to China, but is related to dragons. We put on the play performance of a play called King George, in which me and my good friend Sean were two of the five people that were part of the dragon costume in the play.
Oh.
And I was the middle dragon, where I like was kind of the dumb one, where like I was not very unified with how everybody else was moving, and I was purposely supposed to like move against that and stuff like that. Great performance. We crushed it. I was also I also had speaking lines as the person in the dragon.
Were great. You also, maybe it was Laura who had a very similar thing as like a giant caterpillar in Alice in Wonderland?
I don't know.
That's the story that I thought you were going to share, and then it wasn't, and I was confused. Because I feel like a very similar experience happened with a caterpillar in a production of Alice in Wonderland.
Man, I feel like this play is called King George, but I'm trying to Google search this, and nothing is coming up. I swear it was called King George.
It's probably kind of hard, because King George is, like, also a person.
Yeah, but I searched, like, King George, fake dragon, play. I don't know.
Yeah, Is there a Shakespeare that's called King George? It's King Henry.
There's Henry the 8th part 1, or Henry the 5th part 1, Charles and part 2 or something.
There's a bunch of, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, good challenge.
Yeah, so we get some time with Sean Hu after this to talk strategy. PG is emotional and crying back at camp.
One note about PG that we didn't mention before, that she said at the very beginning of the episode, is that she's from America, but she is like her ancestors are from China, and this is her first time getting to go to China, and she didn't know that that's where they were going when she applied for Survivor, and so like this has been like already a very like cool emotional experience for her, which was just cool to see, and I thought that was fun.
Yes. So she's getting emotional here because they lost, obviously, but also just because like they need to get their shit together back at camp too, and like she tells people they need to pitch in at camp. And I noted that this is not the time to start chastising people for helping around camp, because they're all trying to decide who's going to get voted out. Nice. She asks Chicken for building suggestions, and he is like, Chicken sucks. He's like being purposely vague and unhelpful. She's like, do you think we should do this or this? And he's like, I think whatever you want to do is best. And she's like, yeah, but I'm asking your opinion. And he's like, yeah, I think you should do that. And she's like, I gave you options. Which of these? And he's just, he decided day one when they like didn't immediately listen to what he was saying that he was just like done. And so yeah, they decided the same. There is some other strategy. Ashley thinks PG should go. Chicken thinks Ashley should go because she was sick yesterday. Others are annoyed with Chicken, and the annoyance with Chicken is enough to send him home. He, at Tribal Council, he gets voted out 5-2-1. Ashley gets 2 votes, and PG gets 1 vote. This has happened. This is not the first time this happened. We've seen it happen to Peter, Rupert, Chicken now, and then Noelle in season 43. 5-2-1.
Huh. I would not have guessed that happened to Noelle. Okay.
And so we head into episode 2. My mom is going to kill me.
Episode 1 was called A Chicken's a little bit smarter. And I did not hear that said in the episode. And then I also didn't hear my mom is going to kill me.
Okay. I did hear my mom's going to kill me. I'll note when that comes up. Okay. I don't remember A Chicken's a Little Bit Smarter, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was just a confessional of somebody talking about being annoyed with Chicken and commenting that the animal, a chicken, is smarter than Chicken himself or something like that.
Yeah, that's fair. There is, as the votes are read for Chicken, and like as he is, the last vote is read for Chicken, he loudly shouts, "Damn!"
Mm-hmm.
Which like kind of shocks everybody. And then when Jeff says, "The tribe has spoken," he says, "I heard him." which was very good.
Mm-hmm. I also am not sad he's gone because he was kind of hard to understand with his like slurred speech along with his like accent. It was tough to understand him. Episode 2. Let's start off with Sean Hu tribe. They're kind of trying to decide on shelter and where to build the fire pit. Dave is trying to be the leader here, but really being like an aggressive leader and just shutting people down.
That is in part too because he, at Tribal Council, Jeff was like, y'all are in shambles, you need to pick a leader. And they kind of elect Dave as leader at Tribal Council. So then he's like, cool, y'all told me to be a leader, I'll be a leader.
Yeah.
But overdoes it a little bit.
Yeah, and like some of the complaints, some of the complaints are people are hungry. And so they're like, we want to eat some of this rice. Can we start like a little fire, get fueled up to give us energy to build stuff? And he's like, no, why waste time doing a little fire now? We're building a fire pit. That's where fire should go. And so he shuts them down on that. Dave, I don't have the full context of this, but at one point he said, quote, you're wishing really big right now, like very negatively. And Jamie kind of like so like nicely and sweetly says, well, you should wish big. And I was like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that was very nice.
Jamie, Ashley, Sharia are talking about needing food and they're annoyed that the fire isn't being made. There's lots of bickering between Dave and Ashley. I noted that I think Dave sucks. I was really annoyed by Dave here. I think so much so that the vote out at the end being 6-1 like completely shocked me. I was like, really?
Oh, same. I really thought it was going to be like men versus women, basically.
Yeah, something like, yeah, more close than a unanimous vote. We get some time with Faye Long, Jean Robert snoring while people are building stuff. Amanda forms an alliance with Todd, and they pull in Aaron and they talk a good amount about this. Is like, hey, we think this can be a final three. So Amanda, Todd, and Aaron. Todd notably wants to pull in Aaron because Aaron is like the leader of their group. So if they take any heat, Aaron will be the target, and so that will be like a good person to ally with, is so that way Todd won't be the target. So Todd is a little devious here.
Yeah,
John Robert called it.
Which he did. And
who knows if he actually is a flight attendant? We don't know.
Well, Jeff told us that, so I feel like we can trust Jeff most of the time.
Maybe he lied to Jeff.
That's true. He did in the previous episode also try to like put some leadership onto Aaron purposefully. Mm-hmm. And so like we see him explaining that in this episode.
Yeah. We go to the reward challenge where it will be 3v3.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Before we get there, we get a little bit more about Jean Robert, where everyone is complaining about him, and he says, like, hey, I know that I'm not doing great. I know people don't like me right now, but that's my plan, because then when I do step up, they'll be like, that's unlike him. He's trying, which is a wild, wild thing to do.
Listen, like, if you set the bar low enough, you can just walk right over it.
Yeah, but then, like, everyone can just vote you out anyway, because your bar is so low.
Yeah.
It is, like, the wildest strategy I've ever seen.
Yeah. So at this reward challenge, there's these big wooden balls get released into a mud pit, and it's 3v3 to try to, like, kind of wrestle over and get the ball pushed into the opponent's goal. The reward is fishing gear and a boat, and there will be a twist after the challenge.
I don't know if we've seen this in American Survivor. This was a big challenge in Australian Survivor this past season that I watched, and is, like, so physical.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've seen similar stuff. I don't think we've seen this exact one. And man, it is aggressive. And the preview for next week shows, like, another aggressive challenge. I don't like these ones, really. In this challenge is when the name of the episode came up, because during all of the wrestling, lots of people's clothes were getting pulled off. And at one point after a score, somebody says to, I don't remember who, maybe Amanda, like, hey, Amanda, pull your top back up. And because her boobs were hanging out, and she said, my mom is going to kill me.
Oh, that makes sense. That's the name of the episode.
Yeah. It might not have been Amanda, but I think it probably was her.
Yeah.
So, Fei Long ends up winning this. And they find out the twist is they get to kidnap someone until the next immunity challenge. So they take Jamie. And then she gets a scroll that she will be able to open in private. This scroll part is a fun twist. I like this.
Yes, one. I agree. I liked this twist a lot.
We don't get much here before the next challenge at Shanhu. They return from the challenge. Their camp is flooded, except the fire pit is still safe. So as annoying as Dave was about getting that built, he was correct here that they needed to, like, have a nice solid fire pit. So that part is dry at least. And then we get lots of time with Fei Long. Some people are worried that Jamie is going to steal stuff. And so they're, like, making sure they take note of, like, where things are and kind of trying to watch for that. She reads the scroll and it says that she has a clue to a hidden immunity idol that she has to give to somebody on this tribe. And so the idea is for her to, like, choose who she's going to give some power to, kind of, which I thought was a cool idea.
Yeah. She decides that she wants to give it to the person who she thinks is the weakest.
She gives it to Leslie. And Leslie tells this to Todd as well. So Leslie and Todd have a little bit of an alliance, even though Todd has, like, a final three alliance with other people who are not Leslie, Amanda and Aaron.
Yeah, Todd kind of is like, cool, I'm hoping to vote out Leslie, and then I know about this clue and nobody else does.
Right. And there's some stuff of Dave and Ashley still fighting, which people are like, hey, chill, we got company over, like, let's save the fighting for later. Because they just don't want their business, like, going out to Jamie, who can take it back to her other tribe. And we go to the immunity challenge, so Jamie can reunite with her tribe. And they are using this big, like, log to smash through the wall and then maneuver it through this maze. And it is, like, somewhat close-ish at a point in here. But Fei Long pulls off the win. Again, so they have won all three challenges so far this season, which means Shanhu will be going to Tribal Council. So we're at day 6 with them, where they get some strategy talk before Tribal Council. Dave talks to everybody about, like, hey, listen, I know I did bad in the challenge. He just wants to, like, fess up and say that, or, like, says he understands that and he's sorry for doing poorly in the challenge. It immediately seems like it's either going to be Dave or Ashley, because they've been fighting. Ashley says that her strategy is not to defend herself before Tribal around camp and just wait and call out Dave at Tribal Council, which maybe wasn't the best idea.
Yeah. I do feel like it was a false dichotomy a little bit, because she says, like, I can confront everybody and act like a crazy woman, or I can, like, wait and keep my head together and go to Tribal Council and talk about Dave. And I'm like, or you could, like, talk to people before tribal council, but not confront everybody and just try to like quietly turn it on Dave.
Yeah.
Which I think she kind of does a little bit. It just doesn't quite work.
Yeah. So at tribal council, Ashley does bring up how Dave hasn't been the best leader. Sharia kind of like seconds this. She's like, she says she barely knows anyone and she hasn't enjoyed a single moment so far because they're always pushing, being pushed to work. My final two bullet points are, this is not going well for Dave. And then Ashley's gone 6-1. And I was like, how did nobody else vote for Dave? I was shocked really by this. I
expected at least like Sharia like yells at Dave a little bit.
Yeah. She's saying like, she's not having fun. She's working all the time. And he tries to like say, like correct her kind of, but in his mansplaining correction is saying exactly what she's saying.
Yes. He's like, yeah. Oh, we got to know each other because we're working hard. And she's like, yeah, exactly. Maybe we should also get to know each other, though. That's what my whole point. But yeah, no, everybody votes for Ashley except for Dave.
Yeah, I wonder if, like, we can only see so much, but I wonder if, like, the Dave-Ashley fighting, if other people interpreted it as more of, like, Ashley was the one instigating it because he didn't fight with anybody else. It was only with Ashley, and so they saw her as, like,
with Sharia.
At tribal council, but I mean like around camp when they're like building and stuff, Ashley and Dave are the one always fighting, so maybe they viewed Ashley as being like the common denominator between those fights.
Yeah, I also could see being at some point, I don't remember who it was, Leslie maybe, says something about
She's not on their tribe.
Oh, you're right. Someone says something about we have to send one of them home because the argument is what's going to kill us.
Yeah.
And maybe even though Dave like struggled in that challenge, maybe they were like, we want physical strength. And so they kept Dave. Even
so they sent the professional wrestler home.
Wrestler? Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that. But Ashley got really sick day two and maybe that followed her still.
Yeah. I guess I should have noted. I should have watched more closely. It's too late now. I'm not going back as to how Ashley did in the challenge that did include like mud wrestling, basically to see if, how she did in that. But I did not think about that at the time. I did briefly look up her wrestling stuff. Her wrestling name was Ashley, so that wasn't exciting.
Yeah, that seems pretty.
Sometimes they have different names, except for a lot of women wrestlers. They're wrestling like the men wrestlers. A lot of time, it's like some adjusted name or different name or like different persona entirely. A lot of women wrestlers, it's just their name. So hers was just Ashley. But she did wrestle like on like big wrestling thing. SmackDown. That was a big wrestling thing. Wrestled on there.
Oh yeah. I've heard of SmackDown.
Yeah. I did know at the beginning of this episode that she died in 2019 by suicide, allegedly. It apparently sparked a little bit of conversation about mental health in the professional wrestling industry because there was a couple other deaths by suicide with some other wrestlers around a similar time period. And so sad that she died. Good that hopefully it actually like led to some conversation and mental health talk a little bit. Apparently she, because I'm on her Wikipedia page right now, in 2007 when the Survivor came out, she was also on Extreme Makeover Home Edition.
Oh, that's fun. As like how?
I don't know. Like, it's listed. She's listed as herself. I don't know. She's also in the music video for Timbaland's song "Throw It On Me," which I don't think I know, and some other music video. And wait, where's the notes for this? They said that there was that was a Miss Montana. Apparently, she was Miss Hawaiian Tropic USA and Miss Hawaiian Tropic Canada.
Well, wait, what? How can you be Miss Hawaiian Tropic Canada?
I don't know. Maybe she's got dual citizen.
Interesting. Okay. So, yeah, that is episodes 1 and 2 of season 15.
She got voted out 6-1, which has happened so many times. We've seen it happen to Kimmy, yeah. Frank, Daniel, Michelle, Richard, Alicia, Brady, Travis, Stephanie, Margaret, Gary, Jessica, Rebecca, Jonathan, Alex, and Ashley. No 6-1s in Modern Survivor that we've watched. They gave us next week on.
I think there's a I think Sammy would have been 6'1 in 43, but he was shot in the dark, so it ended up being 6'0. Just I know that's not the same thing. I'm just like
Next week on shows Dave loses his patience with his tribe. Todd and Courtney overhear someone say that Courtney is next. There's another rough wrestling challenge. Yeah. So, I mean, we can still do final three, but you said you think you know who the winner might be. So
I do.
Yeah. So maybe we don't do final three.
Yeah, that's fine.
Let's just do like predict who our next boot's going to be, where we think the episode title might come from.
Yeah, let's do that.
So we're going to watch three episodes for next week, which are I Lost Two Hands and Possibly a Shoulder is one episode. The next one is Ride the Workhorse Till the Tail Falls Off. And then Love is in the Air. So that Love is in the Air is probably going to be about Jamie and Eric because they get married 2 years after this.
Maybe. Or maybe it'll be about someone else. Maybe Jeff dates one of these contestants too.
All right, let's do this. Let's each name the next three boots. Name three people. See how if we can go three for three.
Okay. Oh, geez. Okay, I'm ready.
We're not like saying them at the same time. You can say them.
Dave, Leslie, and Jean Robert.
Okay. So one from Jean Hu, who's been on a losing streak, and then switch into the other tribe. I'm gonna say Courtney, Dave, and I will also say Jean Robert.
So
I just swapped them. Yeah.
Fei Long and one from Jean Hu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right, cool.
Sometimes when they say Jean Hu, I think Jean Robert should say Jean Robert.
He's on the other tribe though, so like maybe that doesn't come up so often.
Yeah, but I feel like Fei Long probably talks a lot about Jean Hu. They're like, what do you think they're doing over there on Jean Hu? He says Jean Robert.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so I don't know about the season so far. It's got some characters. We'll see how it builds up. It's hard to tell in the first couple episodes. I think this next batch will be a better sense of how the season's going to go.
Yeah, I like it so far. I'm into it.
Yeah.
It feels like it feels a little like cozier in like the older style. I'm like, oh, man, this is nice.
Yeah. All right, cool. You got a luxury item this week?
I do. I was debating between two of them, and then I was like, ooh, I'll save one for next time, but I won't remember it. So I'm going to just say two of them, because I've been doing them simultaneously anyway. So I have restarted playing Animal Crossing New Horizons. And man, it's a good game. It's a fun time. So if you never played Animal Crossing, you should play it. You like, you move to live on an island. Run by a capitalist raccoon who wants to help you upgrade your home, but you have to sell him and his children all sorts of bugs and fish and things to upgrade your home and also like get new things and get roads and get, you know, other houses and build furniture and all that jazz. And then you also get to live with a whole bunch that you get other characters to come move to your island also, who are all animals. You're the only human in this world. Yeah, it's a fun game, Animal Crossing. I have been doing a lot of playing Animal Crossing while I watch The OC. Kayla and I have been watching The OC. We used to watch it quite a bit, and then it got taken off of whatever streaming platform we used to watch it, but it is now back on Hulu, so we've been watching it on Hulu. So I'm near the end of season 3 out of 4 episodes.
Oh, shoot.
I have been spoiled about what the big thing that happens at the end of season 3, but
how close, like what's going on? What's Voltok up to?
Oh, fuck that guy. I just watched the college visit episode.
Oh, that one's so nice because it's like you spend so much of that season of Marissa and Ryan like at odds with each other, and then they have like an actual like nice evening.
Yes, that's true. It also, I'm just like so pissed at Seth right now.
Oh yeah,
like being honest to Summer, but yeah.
Are they both in Brown right? Or at Brown right now?
Well,
like I know he's not in Brown, but like
they both did the visit at Brown. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh,
and then you like yes. Okay, because that brings back
Anna.
Anna. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh god, but I love that OC.
Yeah, so great show. Very like teen soap opera y, but fairly like self-referential, and like there's a lot of meta jokes about how ridiculous it is at times, which makes it pretty great. It's a good time. Yeah, the OC. So I've been doing a lot of playing Animal Crossing while I watch the OC lately.
Did you ever, this is not like similar creators or anything, did you ever watch Veronica Mars?
No.
I feel like you might like Veronica Mars. When you finish the OC, think about giving it a shot. Kristen Bell.
The OC just referenced Veronica Mars, actually.
I don't know that I ever like saw them as the same, and for but for whatever reason, that show just like popped into my head. I think you would like it. It's got some fun, and it's got like, because of when it was like in the mid 2000s or whatever, it has some actors on it too that like ended up becoming bigger than they were on the show. And so you're like, oh, I know that person.
It's like teen detective.
Yeah. Kristen Bell is like a high school detective trying to solve like she does. There's like weekly kind of mystery episode, like detective stuff, but then also like an overarching season long one that is a very like serious crime. Like it is not all like just funny stuff. There's like some serious shit. Yeah, it was really good. I watched it like a couple years ago because they were going to be coming out with new episodes. It was, yeah, I liked it a lot. I'm going to go a similar vein to the Animal Crossing in the Nintendo side of things, and I'm going to recommend Zelda, the Zelda franchise. I am like unexplainably, like I can't state how excited I am for the new Zelda Tears of the Kingdom game, which by the time this episode drops will have been out for like a month or a few weeks, because it comes out May 12th. I've been looking forward to this so much. A couple weeks ago they released a new trailer for it, which looked like amazing, and with that they released like 10 minutes of official gameplay from Nintendo, and then this past week they lifted the embargo on people who got like pre-orders of the game to like reviewers and stuff, and they were able to release like some gameplay footage, very restricted rules on what they could release. But I watched like so many videos of just like people playing through like the same like 10-minute section of the game, just because they can all do it like in different ways because of the nature of how the game is. And I'm just like so excited. I love Breath of the Wild, and it's set in the same world as Breath of the Wild, just with like different tools and devices and stuff, powers than you had in Breath of the Wild, and I'm so very excited for it.
I did not realize that it was May 12th. That's like so soon, or that's so recent.
Yeah, at the time we're recording this, it is 13 days from now, 12 days from now. Yeah, I'm very excited. I got nothing planned that weekend except to play this game all weekend long. All right, next week we're going to talk about those few episodes. Listeners, let us know how your summer's going. And don't be upset if you email us and we don't get back to you for a while, because we're pre-recording lots of these episodes, and so it might be a bit. So email us at tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com or tweet at us at tribalcouncil20. And for this week of Tribal Council, this is Chris signing off.
This is Patrick.
And the tribe has spoken.
Oi, 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 oi.